Well, can I welcome you all to this gathering? We've come together to express our sympathy to the family of Jackie Gray. Jackie, as you all know, died on Friday, and we do sympathise with the family, both the congregation who meet here in this place and also the large gathering of friends from further afield. We sympathise especially with Jackie's wife, May, and with his children, John, Colin, Gloria, Paul, and Wendy, and with their marriage partners, Arlene, Elaine, David, Lisa, and Nigel, and also the large number of grandchildren and even great grandchildren, and also with Jackie's brothers and sisters who are here with us today. We realise your sense of loss, and we share in that sense of grief at Jackie's passing. Also, all the more so as Jackie's life in this world ended so suddenly and unexpectedly. We all know that he had been unwell, but I doubt if any of us envisaged that he would be taken from us so quickly on Friday evening. As many of you will know, Jackie was born in the Birches area near Portadown and was one of a large family of 12. He was a fit, strong, working man. He married May and they celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary last year. Through his parents, he was made aware of the gospel early in life. But for his early adult life, he went the way of the world and led a life that was without God and without hope, as he himself would have freely acknowledged. He neither denied nor gloried in his earlier ways. His attitude was like that of the Apostle Paul when he said, "What fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed?" But the Lord's electing love and gracious purpose was set upon Jackie even before the world was made. And though the Lord began working in the Gray family first through the children, and then Jackie himself, that's not God's usual way of working. But our God is sovereign, and he does as pleases him. And then in due time, Jackie himself was brought from darkness to light. And for that, we thank God. In the parable of the sower, the stony ground hearers are those who profess Christ, but are not truly the Lord's. And they fall away from that profession because there is no real root. But it was not so with Jackie, because it was the work of God in his soul. His heart was renewed by the Holy Spirit so that he truly repented and believed upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Like the good ground in the parable of the sower, his heart was renewed by the Spirit of God, and so his profession of faith in Christ was genuine and lasted. His life was greatly changed, and he gloried in the Lord. He sought the honour of Christ. He loved the Saviour, the Lord Jesus, who had redeemed him. He loved the word of God, and he loved the fellowship of God's people. We shall miss his fellowship, his Christian meekness, his kind words of encouragement, and his prayers as he worshipped here in Loch Brickland. He was a regular attender at the prayer meeting, and it was a joy to hear his reverent, straightforward and sincere prayer to God. Jackie manifested the disposition of a man who, by God's grace, had seen the ways of sin for what they really are. He knew that the ways of sin were repulsive, futile, unsatisfying, and ultimately ruinous. And Jackie knew that. He'd learnt that by the grace of God. And the Lord put a new song in his mouth, even praise unto our God. And we too must worship God this day and learn his truth, because God in his providence has brought about Jackie's removal to be with Christ and brought us together. And we must learn from the work of God and understand that work of God in the light of his word. I'm happy to have with me, sharing in the leading of worship, the Reverend Ken Elliott of Bethany Free Presbyterian Church in Portadown, and a long-standing friend of the family. And so after singing Psalm 40, we shall remain standing, and Mr. Elliott will lead us in prayer, and then he will read the word of God to us. Psalm 40, the first psalm on the service sheet. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 5. I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. He took me from a fearful pit, and from the miry clay, and on a rock he set my feet, establishing my way. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 5, and then we remain standing, and Mr. Elliott will lead us in prayer, and then read the word of God. Let us stand and praise God.
Amen. Let us all unite together in prayer. Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, we gather here today in sad circumstances, and we thank Thee that Thou art the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies. And we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And we know that in every pang that rends the heart, the man of sorrows has a part. We thank Thee for the one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. And we thank Thee that Thou art the refuge and strength of Thy people and a very present help. And we thank Thee today that it is of Thy mercies that we are not consumed. Thy compassions are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. We thank Thee too that if we draw nigh to Thee, Thou wilt draw nigh to us. And that Thou hast given us this boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for His redemptive work on the cross at Calvary, when He suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to Thyself. And we praise Thee that bearing shame and scoffing rude, in our place condemned He stood. He sealed our pardon with His blood. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. And we're so glad today that even though there is sorrow here, that Jackie knew the Saviour and was well prepared for that time when it came the other day. We thank You for that happy day that fixed his choice on Christ as Saviour those years ago. And we thank Thee that he witnessed to a good confession. And Lord, we thank You for the good memories that we have had of him. His faithful, consistent walk. His encouragement in the place of prayer steadily, week by week, and his desire for the salvation of lost souls. And Lord, as we come today to remember him, we pray that Thou will bless his sorrowing family. We think especially of May. O God, give her great grace in the days that are yet to come. And as she has lost her husband, we pray that Thou wouldst grant to her beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and help her continually in the days that are yet to be. Bless his sons, bless John and Paul, and remember Colin and their families. And Lord, we think of Gloria and Wendy, and we pray that Thou wilt draw very near to them and their families also. We pray for the grandchildren. We pray that Thou wilt bless his brothers, Sammy and Isaac, and remember Gladys. And we pray, Lord, for Vera and Emma and Evelyn. And we think, Lord, of all of herself. And we pray for great grace to be upon them at this particular time. And we ask, Lord, that in the days to come, whenever memories come flooding in, that every one of them will take great comfort in the fact that they may see their brother, they may see their loved one again, if they will trust Christ as Saviour and Lord as he did. We pray that Thou will bless Thy servant who will bring the word of the Lord here today. Give him Thy word and the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim it. And may there be a message in season for those who mourn, for those of us who belong to Thee, and for those of us among us not yet saved. We pray that they will seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Our eyes are upon thee. Be thou our comfort, and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in this occasion today. We ask these things in his name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to read God's word from Isaiah chapter 53, first of all, and then from 1 Peter chapter 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And then from 1 Peter chapter 1, these words: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And we'll end our reading at verse 9. And our Father, we pray that thou wilt bless the public reading of thy holy word to us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We further sing to God's praise in Psalm 16. Psalm 16 and verse 6 to the end. Unto me happily the lines in pleasant places fell, yea, the inheritance I got in beauty doth excel. I bless the Lord because he doth by counsel me conduct, and in the seasons of the night my reins do me instruct. Psalm 16 and verse 6 to 11. Let us stand and praise God. Turn again in the Word of God to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32. And we'll read just the first four verses at this time. Isaiah 32. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us. And it's verse 2 that we look at this afternoon. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Our theme is quite simply, safety and blessedness only in Jesus Christ. Safety and blessedness only in Jesus Christ. True blessedness for man is to have a holy soul satisfied in a holy God. But that is far from being our position by nature. We believe that for Jackie, that blessedness has been perfected as he has joined the spirits of just men made perfect. But we are not so by nature. And the gospel sent to us by God addresses us as sinners, guilty before him and liable to his just wrath. The context of this text in the previous chapter is the warning to Judah against trusting in Egypt to save them from their enemies instead of trusting in the Lord. Time and again, they were warned against false confidences, false hopes, looking in the wrong direction for deliverance. But this principle holds good for the individual and the salvation of our souls and the forgiveness of our sins, that we must trust in the Lord, in God's appointed Saviour, his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead who became a man. And so this prophecy is pointing forward to the coming Saviour. First of all, safety is only in Christ. Safety is only in Christ. A man shall be an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. In a storm, we need shelter. Or if a storm is threatening overhead, we think in terms of shelter. As sinners, we are guilty before God. However much we may delude ourselves with thoughts otherwise, the fact is we are guilty before God. And the storm of God's wrath hangs over our heads by nature on account of our sin and guilt before him. Let no one be deceived on this point. God is a just God, and he always punishes sin. It is a great modern myth that there is no hell, but there is. There is a hell and there is a heaven. And real people go to both these places forevermore. One or the other is the eternal abode and state of everyone in this world and will prove to be so for everyone here gathered in this church building. We all deserve to go to hell. Every one of us. This is not popular teaching today, but God will not change because men do not like what he says or do not like his character. But we do all deserve to go to hell. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there is a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. God himself has sent his Son to be the Redeemer of sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ was always God. He became a man without ceasing to be God. He was God and man in two distinct natures and one person, and is so forevermore. As a man, he lived a life of perfect holiness. The Lord Jesus was not like us. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. We sin in our actions. We sin in our words, the vast multitude of words that we have uttered since we first began to speak. But we sin even in our thoughts, and the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. But the Lord Jesus, though a man, never sinned, not once. He came, it was his meat to do the will of him that sent him. He was holy, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners. He had the testimony of the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We by nature are not pleasing to God. But the Lord Jesus did always those things that pleased the Father. But the Lord Jesus suffered. He suffered more than any other in this world. Why so, if he was without sin? Because he was the Saviour of sinners, the substitute of the guilty. He came to save sinners. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. No man taketh it from me. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Things weren't out of control when the Lord Jesus suffered. He was bearing the wrath of God in the place of sinners. The Lord Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he was bearing the righteous judgment of God in the place of guilty men and women. And the gospel tells us of God's provided righteousness for sinners. In Romans chapter 1, and verse 16, the apostle by the Spirit writes, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. It tells us that in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Now that doesn't mean simply that it reveals that God is righteous, though that is true. But it means that in the gospel, there is made known a righteousness which God imputes, reckons to the account of every sinner who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is our safety in the Lord Jesus Christ, in trusting Him to take all our sins away. The church can't save you. Ministers can't save you. You can't save yourself. But Christ is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. This is a solemn time. We sympathize with the bereaved, but let it also be a learning time. There is safety only in Jesus Christ. But then there is blessedness only in Jesus Christ. Christ is as rivers of water in a dry place, and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. In heat and drought, waters refresh, and the shade provides shelter from the sun. There is blessedness in the Lord Jesus Christ. All men want satisfaction, but left to ourselves, we look for it in the wrong place. Later on in Isaiah, in chapter 55, we're told of those who sought satisfaction where it could not be found. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Wherefore, those of you who are without Christ, wherefore do ye spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? By nature we love sin, but we're never satisfied with sin. Only the Lord can satisfy the longing soul and fill the hungry soul with goodness. The young people here, Jackie's grandchildren, whom he loved so much and often spoke about, he loved you, he cared for you, he prayed for you. And the other young people here, if you're not saved by Christ, perhaps when you hear the gospel, you say, but I want to have a good time before I think about these things. Is living without Christ a good time in your eyes? And is having Christ a bad time in your eyes? That you should put off thought of these things because you want to have a good time? Is that how you think of Christ? You must insult him no longer. Blessedness is in Christ Jesus, as well as safety. Christ Jesus can make sinners whole. You must seek the Lord, as Jackie did. Death will come. Judgment will come. Eternity will come. The Lord's people have great comfort concerning Jackie. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." At death, the souls of believers go to be with Christ. They enjoy his immediate presence. There isn't any soul sleep or anything of that sort. They are absent from the body, present with the Lord, with Christ, which is far better.
Amen.
But to face leaving this world without Christ is unspeakably dreadful. Those who have Christ will enjoy his fellowship forevermore. Those without Christ, everything you love and live for will be taken from your grasp, and you will face God in your guilt as the judge of all. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. "If any man thirst," said Christ, "let him come unto me and drink." Christ is made known to you as the Savior in this world. You must seek him while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Amen. Let us stand and come to God in prayer. O gracious and eternal God, we bless thy holy name. We thank thee for the glorious gospel of the blessed God, made known to us, of the Saviour of sinners, the one who bore the sin of many. And we thank thee, O God, that there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And though we sorrow this day, it is not a sorrow without hope. We thank thee, O God, that it is written, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." Grant thy help and blessing to those who remain. Grant thy blessing to May in her affliction and sorrow, and be gracious to the family, to John and Colin, and to Gloria and Paul, and to Wendy, and to their husbands and wives and their children, to Jackie's sisters and brothers, and to all the family circle. Grant, O gracious God, thy blessing, and look upon each one of us. Grant that we might all be found, numbering our days, and applying our hearts unto wisdom. Hear us then, O gracious God, that we might all be found in Christ, that man that is an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. So bless thy word to us, O God, and all for Christ's sake. Amen. Please be seated. We further sing to God's praise Psalm 23, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness, e'en for his own name's sake." Psalm 23, and then we'll remain standing for the benediction. Let us stand and praise God. The Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with all that love our Lord Jesus in sincerity. Amen. We read the word of God in Romans chapter 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God,
to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall be enemies if God is not sinner? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In those verses we read, it is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? What is justification? Well, it's the opposite of condemnation. Condemnation is to be declared guilty. Justification means being declared not guilty. And who is it who justifies? It is God that justifies. The final judge of us all. He is the final court. There is no appeal beyond God. And yet we're told that God justifies sinners. God declares those who by nature are guilty to be not guilty. On what basis does he do so? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. God justifies sinners on the basis of imputing, reckoning to their account all that Christ did in keeping God's law and bearing the penalty of the transgression of that law. Who does God justify? The scripture says he is just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. He justifies not all sinners, but all sinners who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jackie was one such. And the scripture that we have read says, whom he justified, them he also glorified. Those who are justified, forgiven, declared righteous by God the judge of all through Christ in this world are surely glorified in the world that is to come. That's why we can have hope this day and gladness in our sorrow. But are you justified? Are you a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ? Have you given up hope of acceptance with God as you are in your sin, or as you could make yourself to be? You cannot make yourself better. You cannot erase the guilt of the past. Have you given up all hope except in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the guilty? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, we thank thee for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for that righteousness of God made known in it. And we thank thee, O God, that as we are gathered here today, and as we think of Jackie taken from us, that we have such confidence of hope. And, O Lord, we thank thee that thou hast given to us such a ground of confidence in thy word. Be with all the family and bless them, bless me and all of the family in thy loving kindness. Bless us all in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Grant, O God, that this day many might flee from the wrath to come to our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Bless our continuing time together. We pray that it might be of encouragement to the family. We thank thee for food and drink. We seek thy blessing. Grant, O God, that we might remember the lessons of this day and that we might profit to life everlasting. Hear us then, O gracious God, and accept our prayer, and all for Christ's sake. Amen.